So the last week, as I mentioned to you, has been one that has been an important time, but a heavy time in the life of our denomination. Some of you know the story pretty well. Others may be hearing about it the first time. Just let me say, it's been heavy and complicated. General Conference is a gathering of international leaders within the United Methodist Church to make decisions about how we will live together, how we organize our life as United Methodist. There's a part of their work that becomes our church law. It becomes the rule book by which we are organized and live by. And then, of course, there are things that go into jurisdictions and kind of state-level decision-making. We participate in Virginia here. But the body that speaks for the church, that says, this is how we as United Methodists understand this, that's the General Conference, and that's why it's such a big issue. Now, that conference has done a number of things in these last few days, but I'm not going to give you kind of the report of what and all has happened. There has been work on creating a regionalized parity, with the United States being able to do some of the same things that the rest of the world has been able to do. There's also been some work on how we understand social principles. There's a thing called the social principles as part of that book that I mentioned, the Book of Discipline. It's not law, but it is an interpretive teaching document for how we might apply our theology and our ethics to various issues about things, including suicide. What is suicide? How do we understand it? How do we understand it biblically? How do we understand it theologically? How do we understand it within the ethics of our world? Same's true with abortion. Same's true with how we use the land that we've been given. So there has been work to revise that to include the language that says that discriminating against people because of certain categories is wrong. This is something that we have carried within our civic life for a long time. There's still much more work to be done in lots of different areas. The thing that I would encourage you to do is to look at umnews.org or umc.org. Okay? That's the news from Lake Wobegon. If you got that joke, that's awesome. You're awesome. Points for you, for sure. But that's the news. I know I give the weather weekly, and today I said it would be 85, and so here we are. We're heading towards 85. So I got a pretty good record. My last name is Cloud, don't you know? But there's still work that will be done. And there, I know, are going to be people that are going to be thrilled with the outcome. Some of the outcomes will be like, yes, this is something we've hoped for and worked for a long time. And there will be people that will be disconcerned and oh, no, what are we doing? What have we done? There are people that are on all sides of lots of different issues within our church. And one of the powerful things of the church, and I think we've recently had the beginnings of some conversations about this, one of the powerful things about our church is that we can disagree with each other and still live with each other. That is one of the, when I became a United Methodist, I'm recovering from another denomination. When I became a United Methodist, one of the things I was surprised at and came to love is that we could hold differences of opinion and still hold a love of God and love of each other in our heart. Might not be easy, might struggle with that, but that's fundamental. Now, that is probably one of the reasons why those who were developing the annual conference turned to the Psalms to find a scripture to focus, a scripture to say, this is what we're faced with as we encounter all that which is a struggle. And I don't know if you notice or not, but life is struggle, right? Have you see this in our news stories. You see this in our neighborhoods. Sometimes things are going great. Isn't that a cool thing? But there are times that it's not going so well. I mean, look at our environment. You know, look at our political world, our civic relations with each other. All of that is strained. Now, most certainly, that was the truth at the work, at the heart of the psalm Donna just read for us, right? It said, everything's good until somebody messes up. No, it didn't say that. What did it say? It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, by the way, Donna, you read just great. Don't be offended. I'm going to come back to some of this. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble within its turmoil. All right? Does this sound familiar? Did you see the images of the volcano that just erupted the other day? Right? So this is the kind of environmental uncertainty that has really been part of our life since the very beginning. I mean, the formation of this planet involved chaos. And there has been so much chaos around us. You know, biblically, the image of water, when a flood comes in, when there's heavy water that overflows over its banks, that's chaos. The ocean itself, with all the craziness that's inside of the ocean, if you think about what it was to be a first century person to look at the ocean and see some of the stuff that washed up on the shore, what the heck, you know? Chaos. And that's how folks who would have read this particular scripture would have understood, you know, when the sea is boiling. Now, we can interpret that in our own life to look at the impact of climate change, the impact of the kinds of things that are happening in the world. And if you're not really kind of certain about all this, you know, remember that we're contributors to that as well. If you've forgotten about it, let me just say two words. Love Canal. Right? We have a part in making a mess of things. Ask my kids, they'll point to my basement. And I won't talk about the garage. But there's contamination in the environment. The nations are in an uproar. Sound familiar? The kingdoms totter. God utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of the hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. But it comes in the midst of war. Now, this is not a refuge that protects us from those things, that insulates us from those things, but is a refuge for us to find our hope inside of as these things move forward. So in the wisdom of whoever it was, in anticipation of however the General Conference would play out, there was a need to remember particularly what this psalm has to say. We haven't gotten to the good stuff yet. But to remember, well, I don't know, you know, it's all good. But to remember that God is present in the midst of environmental, political, economic uncertainty. That God is our refuge in the midst of those things, that doesn't sweep them away, doesn't make them, you know, kind of everything's clear and easy, but does say, I've not abandoned you. I'm still with you. I'm still with you. Now, I was thinking about all this and this big kind of, you know, top layer, like 20,000 foot, you know, we can see, you know, geopolitical stuff, and we can see, you know, macroeconomic stuff. I was thinking about all of that yesterday when I got a text message from UVA. My daughter, my middle daughter, is a nursing student at UVA, and she has a job in the cardiac unit there. She picked that up on the side and has been working there for a while. She was at work yesterday when the, and you may have heard this news, there was a fire in the medical ICU in the floor that was below where she was working. So I get this text message, and I, you know, my wife and I are checking with her, and we learn that it is the floor right below where she is working. They're having to evacuate patients. It was a fire that was essentially an oxygen accident that caused severe damage to a person who is, at this moment, gravely ill. And it reminded me, as I was worried about my daughter, how personal this gets. You know, I was worried, will she be okay? Will she, find herself in an accident related to that? Will she make it out of the building okay? And then I had to think about the poor person, the unnamed person who is badly burned. It gets personal. It gets at an individual level too. And to that, there are these words, I am your refuge. I am the shelter. These things will happen. The struggles will continue, and the brokenness persist. But I have not abandoned you, and I will shelter you. Now, the actual phrase that is part of what you see on the screen and was the theme of what conference focused on and continues to focus on, a lot of devotional material, a lot of sermons by bishops have kind of come from this, is verse 10. Be still, and know that I am God. Now, that is a well-known phrase. That is one of those that is on the top 10 list of most coffee-cupped. Right? Some of you may have a coffee cup at home, be still, or T-shirt, you know, or some, you know, like a little plaque somewhere. And it's a lovely thing. It's a really, really helpful thing to come back to over and again to remember what is said there. Be still, and know that I am God. Now, the theologian Susan Olson writes about this. Almost the most quoted portion of the psalm is verse 10a, be still and know that I am God. Most usages of this phrase are pulled outside the context of the psalm, however, and refer to stillness in the vein of relaxation or quiet meditation. I have been part of groups who have practiced what's known as contemplative prayer. It's a very important, very valid form of prayer that allows for silence and allows for contemplation, quiet meditation on things. It's good stuff. But that is not what is being spoken of in this particular context. That's not the kind of stillness that we're talking about. This phrase is more like the sound, Susan writes, the sound of a parent sharply correcting her or his fidgeting child. Now, I didn't understand this until I was a parent. In fact, you can do this verbally, of course. Stop it! Right? And really, that is what's being said here. Knock it off. My mother, when we were in church, and I was in the back row cutting up, I'm watching the back row now. That's where all the troublemakers are. I know it. And you too. She would say, Bert Lee, my middle name is Lee, and when the middle name is evoked, that sends a shiver up your spine. You're going to be in trouble, young person. Bert Lee. She would do that at other times as well, but I remember it in church, and it was unpleasant. We used to do it nonverbally when we had younger kids. Here I am preaching about my younger kids. I would sit my kids in the various churches near the front, right? Kind of right in there, so I could keep an eye on them. And my wife, when we were serving together as pastors, we would keep an eye on them. Which we did not need to say, Bert Lee, stop it. But the threat was still there. Be still. This is not a stillness that is of quiet music and nice, you know, kind of mauve colors. It is a stillness that calls for a snapping to attention, of hyper-attentiveness, of dropping whatever is in your hands or distracting you and attending carefully to God's word. Be still and know that I am God. With this little side of knock it off. There's something more important here. There's something much more than who's on top and who's on the bottom. This calls readers to attentiveness. Perhaps more importantly, it reminds readers that a sovereign and powerful God is with us. Be still and know that I am God. In the midst of this very city, in the midst of this very political turmoil, in the midst of this very heartbreaking moment, in the midst of this chaotic natural world, in the midst of our lives, God is perpetually with us. The word that is used is immano, the root of Emmanuel. What we sing about at Christmas, God is with us. So whatever we face as Sterling and I Methodist Church, whatever we face as you and I, whatever we face as people that are part of the body politic, whatever we face as people that are part of a homeowners association, whatever we face as we move through our day-to-day life, Emmanuel, God is with us. Don't make me tell you to knock it off. I think he has already. I say all this to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.